Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Station for the best Ravens coverage.
Bringing the team to the fans.
It's news from the nest.
We're grateful for our media. We really are, most of the time.
With Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Right now from Window Nation, buy two windows, get two free, and pay nothing until 2027. Offer ending soon. Schedule your free estimate at 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw. Vinny's on his way to one winning drive. Ravens OTAs. It's third day of said week. Back at it tomorrow and then next week. Mandatory minicamp. Ravens one of the last teams to go through mandatory minicamp and then training camp. Date to be determined, late July, early August. We know that. And then the NFL season will be upon us in a big, big way. We're going to be talking about Aaron Rodgers coming up here, NFL lunch style, top of the hour, a little more so with Ryan Wilson from CBSSports.com. But Roger Rosengarten met with the media yesterday out there at One Winning Drive, talking about his offseason, his prep for this upcoming season, starting right tackle, entering his second year in the National Football League. Ravens lose to the Bills. So, Rosengarten, how quickly did you get back to work?
Yeah. You know, after last season, I know I wanted to immediately take a little time off, but it was immediately hit the gates for me, personally, physically, getting in the weight room, getting faster, bigger, faster, stronger, and just building on to year two, because now I know I got the ropes and everything, and, you know, this is where my confidence and my play starts to really take its next level step. So,
now, when he made his debut against Kansas City last year, Nolan, kind of forced into the fire, if you will, did not look good. Chris Jones was kind of all over him like a Kmart suit. The Ravens offense was a little bit discombobulated as they were still trying to figure out where you could line up legally. The first drive of the game, there were tons of flags. Ravens still wound up scoring a touchdown, by the way, on that first drive. But Rosengarten, we're going to hear a little bit more from him, got himself in better shape in the offseason. His last game in college, he was getting worked in the championship game. But he was kind of an asset to this team, him and Fa'alele on that right side. And Fa'alele still young in his career, Rosengarten entering year number two. They're both big, massive guys, controllable for now. I think there's a pretty strong upside on that side of the line for John Harbaugh.
Yeah, I think maybe the bigger surprise would have been, at least for me, how fast he kind of developed into at least a average right tackle. Because the Ravens really needed it. And they knew going into last offseason that they were going to create some holes. They didn't bring back Zeitler. Didn't bring back Moses. They already had the left guard job up for grabs. So, mm-hmm. I mean, you didn't know what Ronnie Stanley was going to do. It was nothing but question marks besides Linderbaum. And what did they do in the draft? Well, they waited until the second round to draft an O-lineman, and that was their only O-line pick. So, as soon as the draft ended, the weight of the world was on Roger Rosengarten's shoulders. He has to be the guy, and he has to be the guy right away, which, whether you think that's fair or not for a second-round pick, that's a whole different debate. But for him to start becoming a starter by week four, and for people to be calling for it, more so because Fa'alele was a mess at right tackle. But, I mean, people were pretty actively calling for Rosengarten to be the right tackle starter. So he lived up to it. I've got extremely high hopes for him moving forward.
Now, as far as Rosengarten himself is concerned, you're coming into year number two, and I guess the competence level is where?
I mean, actually, I think last year, I, nobody was kind of a harsh word for myself. I'd much rather say I know I'm a rookie, but you know, just going into this year, you know, it's I'm going to play way more confidence. So going to go against a lot of good teams, a lot of good players. So I'm excited for it.
I mean, the quarterback list that the Ravens are playing in 2025 is pretty impressive right out of the gate with the MVP of the league in Josh Allen. Whether or not he should have won it, that's another argument we can get into, because Lamar should have won it, but Josh Allen did. And Josh, last game the Ravens played in 24/25 was a loss in Buffalo. And they've got some pieces that can make things interesting for you. What, Joey Bosa, they got him in the offseason. If he can make it through training camp, that sort of thing. But the Buffalo Bills, they'll bring the heat. But Roger Rosengarten sounds like a guy, at least on June 10th was yesterday, that seems to be ready for said challenge here.
Yeah, and he should be. I thought he showed himself decently well against some of the great guys in the AFC North last year. You know, I mean, held his own against the TJ Watts and I guess the Myles Garretts of the world. And I mean, look, if there was some growing pains early on, I think at least by the second half of the season, he was playing his best football. So you're looking for that linear progression. He definitely showed it. It wasn't one step forward, two steps back. I think there's a lot to like here. I mean, he showed me more than I thought he would last year, I guess is my main takeaway.
Now, with Rosengarten, there was talk maybe that if Ronnie Stanley left, that he could, you know, move from right tackle to where he did a fine job as a rookie. Whole different animal over there on the left side, but it's a moot point now because Ronnie's back, and I guess, Roger, you're cool with that?
I mean, I remember I was on, I took a small vacation with my family, and I was texting Ronnie and calling him every day. I was like, hey, man, I was like, left side's looking real good. Just because, you know, I thought we had a really good dynamic duo of me and him and just bouncing off each other from left to right. So, you know, I think it all played out at the end of the day, and, you know, it's glad he's back for sure.
Now we look at Stanley Voorhees, assumed starter, Linderbaum. Who knows if this contract stuff becomes a problem for him. Fa'alele, and then Rosengarten. Young for the most part, with the exception of Ronnie, who's not a dinosaur by any stretch of the imagination, but he's up there. He's been in the league for pushing 10 years now. But that offensive line, in theory, Nolan, health permitting as usual, could this be maybe one of the best in the history of the organization, or is that a little June hyperbole here before minicamp starts?
Well, I don't even know where to begin, like trying to determine what year would be. I mean, and the Ravens do have a pretty rich history of quality O linemen. They usually hit with their premium picks there, and even find a gem in a mid round like a Marshall Yanda every once in a while. So they've had great O line play really throughout their entire history. What year's the best? Hard to say. I mean, for me, the biggest thing with this O-line, beyond health, is the penalties, which has become a big talking point, and, yes, and rightfully so. I mean, that's the one way they were shooting themselves in the foot last year, and everyone keeps saying it. Nobody beat the Ravens. The Ravens beat themselves. So that would be case in point one. And two, protect Lamar Jackson. Obviously, he can escape a lot of danger more than maybe on any other quarterback in the league. But last year, sacked 23 times. That was pretty nice change from a year prior where he was sacked 37 times. So again, same type group coming back. I'd expect somewhere in that same 20 sack ballpark, which would be good enough.
Now we talk about, or I do, the Ravens offense potential to maybe be the greatest in the history of football. Since they invented the game of football, this could be the best offense of all time. But you mentioned the penalties. That is going to be a key thing to watch, and the coaches are very, not concerned, but they understand, you know, second and two becomes second and 12, as we were talking about yesterday with Kevin Allstriker. So that has to be, you know, maintained, curbed, because during the Lamar era, Ravens don't get blown out, but they lose. I mean, they've lost a lot. Not a lot, but relatively speaking, compared to how much they, you know, clobber other teams. But they lose because what? Penalties? Turnovers? Special teams miscues? They're always drop passes, like self-inflicted damage that does them in. By the way, in 2019, when they became the greatest rushing team of all time, Orlando Brown, Pro Bowl. Ronnie Stanley, Pro Bowl. Marshall Yanda, Pro Bowl. So there you go. We'll throw. You got three Pro Bowlers, then you're saying, okay, we're cool here.
And oh, yeah.
James Hurst, McCary, they were all part of the equation.
But they don't need that. And the Pro Bowl is such an arbitrary thing. I mean, just with the way it's voted on. But I think, yeah, if guys are getting recognition, it means the whole production, the whole offense is living up to their expectations. And for the penalties in particular, O-line, you know, look, there's going to be bad calls. We've got done complaining about the umps in baseball. There's going to be missed calls. It's just going to happen. But what kind of penalties? If you hold a guy when it looks like somebody's got a free pass at Lamar and is going to knock his head off, I don't have a problem with the hold there. False starts, huge problem.
Mm-hmm.
Procedural stuff, huge problem. Delay a game, I mean, that was a big issue for them 3-4 years ago. It made no sense
to
me.
When Lamar's back there clapping and all of that.
Right. I think maybe one that I'd keep my eye on, and this is not just Ravens, this is around the league, illegal man downfield. NFL's got to do something about this. With the way quarterback play is now, RPOs, holding the ball, read option, all that stuff. You know, O-linemen drifting just a step or two farther downfield than they should, and all of a sudden a flag's getting thrown. Really has no bearing on the play. Isn't the difference between it being a home run play or not, but they're still calling it. So I'd like to see the NFL do something about that.
And real quick before we go to the break, get to buy or sell, you talk about arbitrary with a Pro Bowl. Earl Thomas was a Pro Bowler in 2019.
A lot of name recognition there.
Yeah, yes. And I think he was out of the league by the next season.
Well, yeah, you got in that fight with Chuck Clark.
There you go. When we come back, let's count some dough, buy or sell style. And then at the bottom of the hour, Jim Hunter talk about the Orioles back at it tonight against the Tigers. Casey Mize coming in with a gaudy record, but as Nolan said, workload's been kind of limited lately because he's had some struggles. Zach Eplin, the Orioles ace, he's on the hill. Birds lose last night 5-3. We were talking about them being back. No, they're not. Because they never were. Being back means you're above 500, you're in playoff, you know. Tampa's kind of back. Toronto's back. Orioles, they're still in last place. And they've actually lost ground over the last four games. What does Jim Hunter think?
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not gonna buy into that crap.
Penny and Amy. 1057 The Fan.
Want to crush Wednesday here on the Fan. Vinny and Haney, 1057. Getting it done here. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw. Vinny's on his way. Might be there by now. One winning drive. OTAs back at it today and tomorrow in their mandatory mini camp. Next week, Orioles at it tonight against the Tigers, trying to get back in the win column. They've dropped two in a row, 3 of 4. That's not good as we're approaching the mid part of June. Stanley Cup, NBA championship. You got the NBA draft coming up. All sorts of zaniness in the world of sports. But right now, let's count some money, hopefully, buy or sell.
All righty, money today. NASDAQ is down. It's down 43. S&P 500 also down. Only 6, but it's down. Dow Jones is up 73. How about DraftKings? Always like DraftKings. They're up 24 cents. And Under Armour up ever so slightly, but we'll take it. 6 cents.
Keep chipping away.
All right, we're starting today in the NFL. Rookie tight ends, Colston Loveland, Tyler Warren. Two names to keep an eye on this upcoming season. And rare cases of premium draft picks at their position. They'll also be chasing the high bar that was set by Brock Bowers in his rookie season last year. 1,100 yards, that was the most by a rookie tight end since Mike Ditka in 1961. Kyle Pitts, the only other rookie tight end to to surpass 1,000 yards in NFL history. Now, Loveland, he's going to have a bit of an uphill battle if he wants to do that. Very crowded Bears offense that also includes another good tight end in Cole Kmet. But Warren, on the other hand, well, he should slot right in as the immediate starter at tight end in Indy. Are you buying or selling, Bob, that one of these two will reach 1,000 yards right out the gate?
Ooh, I will buy one of them. And you mentioned about Loveland with the weapons that Caleb Williams is going to have. And we'll see what Ben Johnson brings to the equation. He worked with the tight ends when he was the OC in Detroit. The problem with Warren's going to be who's throwing him the football. Because Anthony Richardson's got shoulder problems. He had the surgery 2 years ago, dealing with it again now. Is Daniel Jones a guy that can make that happen? I mean, they still have some receivers of import in Indy as well. But I'll buy that one of them will break through. And if I was going to guess, I'll go with Tyler Warren. And Shane Steichen, the coach of the Colts, said he looks great.
All right, over to the NBA, the Pacers. They did their job by stealing game one of the finals, ensuring that they'll bring the series back home at least tied 1-1. However, the loss in game two was ugly, maybe casted some doubt over their ability to match the Thunder's high-powered offense. Tyrese Halliburton took a lot of criticism in that loss. Relatively quiet night for him. Finished with 17, but most of that came during garbage time in the fourth quarter. Oklahoma City, to be fair, was just better across the board in that game. And when you score 123, it's going to be hard to top that if you're an opponent. Buy or sell, Bob, the Pacers' overall defensive effort more to blame than Halliburton or any individual performance?
I'll soft buy, but as SGA's playing like a superstar MVP and Halliburton has had these MVP-level superstar moments in the playoffs, what's he have, four buzzer beaters essentially? In the postseason, man, he was throwing up some cinder blocks. And Siakam's the only guy that kind of brings it consistently for them. I just think OKC's the better team. They're a better defensive team as well. I don't want to proclaim things being over. This series is over. Oklahoma City's going to win the next three games. And the Indiana Pacers, great run as a four seed to get to where they've gotten to. Party's going to get crashed here, man. OKC 5.5-point favorites, by the way, tonight.
Some news in the AFC North here. The Bengals released linebacker Jermaine Pratt yesterday, a move that'll save them a decent amount of cap space. But this is a guy that was a staple of that defense since he was drafted there in 2019. And it seems like frustration over the firing of Lou Anarumo was what ultimately led to his exit. He even requested a trade a few months back since he did nothing. Mike Florio writes that this was done out of spite. Why didn't they explore a trade? Even if it would have been for a minimal return, at least you'd get something when you plan to get rid of the guy anyway. Cap savings would be the same either way. Are you buying or selling that take? Done out of spite.
I'll sell it. Maybe buy it. I don't know. Are the Browns as an Bengals that petty as an organization where they would just tell you to leave as opposed to maybe trying to, you know, fish and get something for you? Hey, look, getting rid of Pratt, disrespecting him, if you will, not paying him, obviously. Trey Hendrickson's not showing up to anything here anytime soon. So their offense was taken care of financially, keeping the band together. Defensively, they've got all sorts of problems. But I'll sell that it was out of spite. Maybe there's, you know, a procedural move that makes sense as they see it.
Last topic of the day, in the AL East, the Blue Jays on quite a heater right now, 12 wins in their last 15, pushing them to 37-30 on the season. Now, the gap between them and New York is actually manageable all of a sudden, only four games back. Now, of this recent Toronto baseball era, there's been some successful regular seasons. They had 91 wins in 2021, 92 wins a year later, but not a single playoff win to go along with it. Buy or sell, Bob, Toronto is for real this time. We'll end up surpassing 90 wins for the first time since 22.
Health permitting, yes, because Bichette's starting to percolate. Vlad Jr.'s, you know, playing well, but not at an MVP level. Chris Bassett's been great for them in the rotation. He got the win yesterday, which we'll talk about during the AL East report. 91 wins, 37-30, that's 67 All right. They have a lot of games left to maybe get. So they to get 91, they would need to win how many more? 54? I'll buy it. I will buy that John Schneider, not to be confused with the guy from Dukes of Hazzard. They will keep it together. Tampa's playing really good baseball as well in the division. Orioles are bottom feeders, but we're not talking about them. I'll buy that the Blue Jays, after years of teasing and a bottom out basically last year, I think they'll do it. And by the way, use this, everyone. If the Orioles continue to flounder after, you know, Toronto had those back-to-back playoff years, didn't win. Then they, you know, flatlined last year. Now they're bouncing back. Hey, this could be in your future, Oriole fans, for 2026.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Longtime voice of the Orioles, our colleague here on BBT. He is Jim Hunter. Jim, good afternoon. How you feeling today?
I'm doing great, Bob. How are you?
Hanging in there, man, and looking forward to seeing tonight. I haven't seen you in a couple of weeks there. So we'll have some fun. We'll get the band back together. But Hester Kerstad before the game yesterday was an option back to Norfolk, number two pick in the draft. We know he's been on the playoff roster twice, 23 and 24. When you heard the news today, oh boy, to quote the Beatles, what did you think about Hester Kerstad?
Well, I wasn't surprised because, you know, when you're bringing back outfielders, and Mullins was activated yesterday, he just didn't hit consistently enough to warrant playing time and staying on the roster. You know, the interim manager yesterday in his pregame indicated that he's got to work on things, but he didn't indicate what he had to work on. So it's a mystery because he obviously has talent. I mean, he's owned AAA, but for whatever reason, he just can't seem to translate it to the big league club. Hopefully, he'll be able to figure it out. You know, and you mentioned the number two overall pick. He should be further along than he is, but unfortunately, he isn't, and now he's back in AAA trying to figure it out.
Is there any hope for him, Jim? And you've been watching baseball and covering it for a long, long time. Kerstad defensively. Is he just going to be this positionless guy who's going to have to make his dough swinging a baseball bat here?
Well, he obviously has been so inconsistent, whether it's in left field or right field. He misplays balls a lot. So, you know, I think his future probably is as a DH. And unfortunately, the way the Orioles pen their lineup every day, they tend to move that DH guy around so they can get multiple guys in there as the DH. So, you know, I mean, defense is something you can work on, but obviously he should be further along than he is.
All right, now, Cade Povich last night had his struggles. We heard Tony Manzolino coming out of the break during the update. You know, he got through, navigated early okay, but, you know, a couple of bloops here, gave up the home run to Torkelson, almost a hell of a catch by Kowser. Development, since we're using that word. I mean, Povich looks like he's going to get the ball every fifth day. Is that a good or bad thing for his development, and especially for a team that still believes, I guess, that they can make a run at some sort of wild card?
Well, they're 13 games below 500, so I don't know how feasible that is.
Right.
You know, they've lost two in a row and three of four to fall to 26 and 39. The thing about Povich that I seem to notice in most of his starts, he tends to have the one bad inning. And last night it was in the fifth inning when he allowed three runs, including the home run that he allowed by Torkelson. So, you know, you wonder, is he better suited to come in relief where he only has to face, you know, maybe the lineup once or twice? You know, I'm not a big analytic guy, as you know.
Right.
But the third time through the lineup seems to be his bugaboo. And that suggests to me that maybe he's better suited as a relief pitcher where he doesn't have to face the lineup too often. And, you know, again, the one bad inning, it tends to follow him in most of his starts. And, you know, last night it was the three-run fifth inning, and they ended up losing 5-3. So if not for that inning, maybe they win the game.
Jim Hunter joining us here, Vinny at Haney 105.7 The Fan, Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw on this Woman Crush Wednesday, Orioles Tigers tonight. All right, Adley's been heating up here. And prior to June, he started to perk a little bit. Gunners still has the top war on the team. You just get two all-stars back in Westberg and Mullins off the IL. Is there still a significant upside offensively for them, Jim? Because I guess if this team's going to make that run, no pun intended, to a postseason berth, the offense is going to have to carry him here.
Well, it does definitely have to improve. I mean, the team is batting .237 as a club, and they're averaging only 3.8 runs per game, and that's not going to get it done. I mean, you know, last year the magic number was 5, and they won enough games to make it into the wild card round, but they're just not scoring enough to win enough games. You know, last night they only had 4 chances with runners in scoring position. They got the one hit when Gunner got the base hit to drive in Holiday. So, you know, I'm not too confident that they can turn it around. I mean, you know, you look at this club, and I don't know the hitting coach. I don't know his background. But, you know, when Jackson Holiday turned it around, it was his dad that called him and said, you know, I'm watching video of you. You got to alter this in your swing. And you know, that is shocking that a hitting coach that sees Jackson every day couldn't figure that out. So they just don't score enough runs, Bob, to be able to win consistently.
Now, the Tigers tonight, and we'll be talking about it more, BBT at 5:30, live from Pickles Pub, brought to you by Jerry's Home Services. By the way, Jim Hunter, powered by Verizon here on this Woman Crush Wednesday.
I'm powerful.
Yes, you are. You have, like, superpowers, as a matter of fact. But what impresses you most about Detroit? Best record in baseball. Orioles saw it up close and personal last night in the game that we all thought they had the best chance to win. Now you get Mize and then Scooble tomorrow, Eplin and Kramer for the Birds. What impresses you most about the Detroit Tigers, who a year ago at this time were on the verge of a sell at the All-Star break, and now here they are, maybe the favorites or one of the favorites to win the World Series this year?
Well, you know, the one thing that really jumps out at me is the balance in the lineup. You know, most of these guys you haven't heard of, except for Green in left field. Dingler's having a good year, the catcher, and Torkelson has found his stroke. But the balance in their lineup, I mean, last night they had 12 base hits, and they were able to score 5 runs. Torkelson hit the home run, the 2-run shot off of Povich. But that's the thing, and their pitching has been very consistent. You know, you look at their pitching, especially their bullpen, and their bullpen has been fabulous. So, you know, you add the balance in the lineup and the pitching being very, very good. I mean, their bullpen ERA is 3.29. That's fifth best in the major leagues. You know, that's going to get it done. So if you don't get to the starter, and their starters have been very good as well, you're probably not going to beat them because their bullpen has been lights out. So, you know, you add it all together. I mean, their starters are third best in the major leagues at 3.08. So, you know, you add that up with the balance in the lineup and the starting pitching and the relief pitching, that's a very good club. And their GM did a very good job of putting this club together.
Jim Hunter, longtime voice of the Orioles, now our colleague here on Baltimore Baseball Tonight, 105.7 The Fan. Jim, appreciate the time. I will see you, me and Nolan. We'll see you tonight at Pickles Pub as we get on the air at 5:30.
Looking forward to it, Bob.
Oh, you got it. There's Jim Hunter, everyone. Powered by Verizon. We'll come back, reset the program for you, take a trip through the American League East. We do have some day baseball, which we'll talk about. Going to hear from Aaron Rodgers, top of the hour, NFL lunch. Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com, talk some NFL with him. Steeler fan, by the way. And then Vinny Serrato, live from OTAs.
Yankees, Boston, Toronto.
A closer look at the AL East with Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
All right, Tom, your American League East report here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Orioles last night, 5-3 losers to the Detroit Tigers. Kate Povich had a rough night, 4 2/3, 9 hits, 5 runs, a walk, 6 strikeouts. With the loss, his record drops to 1-5 on the year with a 5.46 earned run average. Jordan Westberg returned last night, as did Cedric Mullins. Westberg went deep in the ninth inning, but it was not enough as the Orioles had a big hole to climb out of. Couldn't get it done. So Detroit, best record in baseball. They take the series opener. The Orioles drop 2 in a row, 3 of 4 after that 6-game winning streak. Spencer Torkelson hit a 2-run homer for the Tigers last evening as he continues to, he's not hitting for a ton average-wise, but the power numbers are certainly there. So Torkelson, part of that balanced Tigers lineup we just talked about with Jim Hunter. So the Orioles lose 5-3, trying to end the losing streak tonight. Well, it's not a losing streak till they get to 4. They've dropped back-to-back games. So there we go. I want to clarify, at least during the Bob Haney rulebook portion of the show. Orioles 26-39 on the year, 12-18 at home. Zach Eflin is on the mound. He's 5-2 with a 4.47 for the Tigers, 44-27. They're 21-15 on the road. Casey Mize is on the mound. He's a 6-1, sub-3 earned run average, 6.35 first pitch. And as we've said, and if you're new to the show, you haven't been downtown, see an Oriole game, you haven't been to Pickles, well, it all happens together tonight. Come on down, say hi to us. We're on the air at 5:30. We usually get there about an hour or so earlier. Me, Jim Hunter, and Nolan tonight. So come on down, say hi. Don't come empty-handed. We're all partying together. So come on down and enjoy the game. We're brought to you by Jerry's Home Services. Last night in the division, it was the Boston Red Sox tanking on the Tampa Bay Rays, an interdivision rivalry. And a guy who about 3 weeks ago was horrible for the Red Sox, all of a sudden, is the exact opposite of that.
Swings it a lot. Scored two. He takes off for second base. He's got a double. That drives in two. And the Red Sox grab the early lead on an Anthony double.
My guys mixed up. I was talking about Trevor Story. He had a home run last night. 2 for 4 with a bomb. But Roman Anthony, the much ballyhooed prospect, number one prospect in the Boston farm system. That was his first hit. Nesson on the call. Drives in a couple of runs. This is a guy that last week, before the recall, hit a 497-foot home run. His opener a couple of nights ago, had a ribby, misplayed in the outfield. But last night, big hit in front of the family and the home crowd. So, beautiful night for him. Lucas Giolito, he goes 6 strong as the Boston Red Sox win 1 over the Tampa Bay Rays, 3-1. Yankees and Royals rematch of their playoff series last year. And a guy's just playing. He's at a different level swinging a baseball bat right now.
Swing and a deep blast way out into left field. Judge can't stop, won't stop. Why would he? 2-run jack in the first. 2-0 Yankees.
That's Yes Network on the call. Aaron Judge, 2 for 5, homer, 3 ribbies, 24th homer of the season. Austin Wells, he hits a 3-run jack for New York as well. Jonathan India went deep for Kansas City, but it was not enough as the Yankees win that one, going away 10-2. And also in the division last night, another hot team, one we were talking about, buy or sell, continues to find ways to win.
This is hit hard to deep right field, and Jimenez has hit it out. an absolute bolt off the bat of Andrés Giménez.
Sportsnet on the call, as you heard, Andrés Giménez. Known for his glove. This is a multiple-time gold glove-winning second baseman for them, the Cleveland Guardians. We saw this power when the Orioles opened the season against Toronto way back in March. Then he got hurt. Now he's back. Three-run jack. The girthy one, Alejandro Kirk, he had a two-run homer as well. Chris Bassett goes seven innings, picks up his seventh win of the season. Hoffman, his 17th save. Didn't give up a run, but 10-9. Toronto Blue Jays win yet again over the St. Louis Cardinals. So these teams, some of these teams the Orioles couldn't beat, other teams are kind of handling within the American League East today. Toronto at St. Louis again, 2:15. Tampa Bay's at Boston, 7:10. Yankees and Royals, 7:40 in Kansas City. And then we've got the Tigers here in Baltimore. There is a game underway right now. Through one in Pittsburgh, the Pirates and Marlins are scoreless. Standings update in the American League East and beyond. Yankees 40-25, four games up on Toronto. Blue Jays right now, they won 8 of 10, two in a row. They continue to cook. By the way, every team in the American League East but the Orioles has a positive run differential because of Toronto's recent hot play. You got Tampa five games out. And then the Red Sox coming in here, they're 9 off the pace. We'll get to the wild card standings here in a second. The Tigers, who we're seeing up close and personal here in Baltimore, they're starting to extend a little bit. They're 8 games up on Minnesota in the Central, 9 games up on the Guardians, who have lost 2 in a row to Terry Francona and the Reds. Andrew Abbott, complete game for Cincinnati last night. Kansas City's 9.5 off the pace. And then the White Sox, they're where the Orioles are, last place. Houston, 3 games up on Seattle in the West, even though Houston's dropped a couple in a row. Seattle's really hit the skids since the Orioles put it on them last week. Angels, who are coming to town this weekend, they're playing better baseball. They're 4 games out of first. They won 6 of 10, 2 in a row. We'll talk more about them on Friday. Texas, 4.5. A's bringing up the rear there. Since they took 2 out of 3 from the Orioles, they've lost 2 to the Angels. Mets cut from behind, beat the Nats in extras. They won 4 straight. They're 5 games up on the Phillies. Everyone else, Nats, Braves, Marlins, all double digits back. Nolan, real quick, we talk about the Orioles' most disappointing team in baseball. What about Atlanta now? I mean, they got to 500. Now they're 10 games below 500. And if you look at their lineup, I know they have pitching problems. They got everybody back, and after that big uprising, so Braves, Orioles, by the way, two teams I picked to win their respective divisions prior to the season. Who's more disappointing right now?
Well, it's still the Orioles. Yeah. Got to be. Okay. I mean, Atlanta, you heard all the stats when took them forever to win a game.
Yeah.
At the start of the season.
Started 0-7.
And all the stats start flying. Well, no team's ever started 0-7 and ended up making the playoffs, you know, and for a second there, you're thinking, okay, well, maybe the Braves could be the team that changes that trend. To be fair, I don't have a list of all those 0-7 teams in front of me. Right. I'd imagine a lot of them were expected to be bad heading into the season. But when you play 162, it is a little puzzling that all it takes is 7 in a row to start the year, and that's already a kiss of death.
You think Snicker gets the old Hider heave-ho? Remember the Hider hook? It's the Hider heave-ho now.
Be tough. I mean, at least he does have the World Series in his back pocket.
Yes, he does.
And that's a little bit longer sustained success.
But apparently he plays favorites in regards to who can hustle up the first baseline and who can't. I don't know. But they're disappointing. 10 games under 500. Marlins in last place. Cubbies 5 up on St. Louis. 5.5 on the Brujas. 6.5 on the Reds in the Central. Cincinnati, by the way, has now won 5 consecutive games. Even the Pirates have shown a pulse here as of late. And then out west, Giants won 6 straight. Mike Yastrzemski. I think one of the early Elias gaffes was getting rid of Mike Yastrzemski. He's had a nice career with San Francisco. I think DJ Stewart kind of won that one because he was a first-round pick. But, you know, hindsight's always 20-20. San Diego blew out the Dodgers last night. Manny had 5 ribbies. Diamondbacks won 2 straight, but they're still below 500. And then the Rockies, they're in a league of their own, and it's not a good one here in 2025. They've lost 4 straight. They're 27 games out of 500. Their run differential is minus 199. Strong. And they just swept a series. Beat the Marlins. Hey, look at the Rockies. And nah, here, a little dose of reality. They're playing 182 baseball. Middle of June. We'll come back. NFL lunch. Aaron Rodgers met with the media. Apparently he's married. I mean, I don't really care one way or another if he is or isn't, but Aaron Rodgers, he's in Pittsburgh. Should we start to sweat a little bit as Ravens fans? But he spoke, and he's always interesting to hear. Then we got Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com. Get his thoughts on the National Football League as we're wrapping up mandatory minicamp in most cities. Ravens do it next week. And then we got Vinny Serrato at OTAs. Kyle Hamilton is there today. So there's some good news for you.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.